Don't fight the feeling. That's right. Don't fight the feeling.
Say my life is like a movie, nigga fucking every day. Fucking every day, nigga fucking every day. Say my life is like a movie, nigga fucking every day. Missionary doggy style, nigga fucking every way. Go. I'm not the nigga you thought that trickin'. We off that, I hit that, no callback. She ratchet, I like it, I hold it. She bite it, she lick it and suck it. I fuck it, he wife it. No feelings for a hoe, that ain't my main thing. My niggas on the same thing. All my niggas gang bang, bitches do too. This is my boo, 2 C's on the bag. But she throw up pop root, and we off that Ciroc. She don't mind if I do. Her girlfriend a thot, tell her hop in my coupe. Tell her hop in my bed, tell her hop off my roof. My baby mama trippin' and that bitch can shoot. But you gon' let me hit it or not?
Can I get the dick?
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. All my good people out there, broadcasting live from Floss Scandalous, California. Glad to have everybody tuning in. This is Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as Tariq Nasheed. And we're going to chop up some real good game on today's show. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That's the number to call up to chop up game with me. We're going to take some calls in a minute. And I want to talk about how to deal with a white supremacist, a suspected white supremacist. I'm going to replay a debate I had with Dave, the white supremacist, from this Sunday's Ustream show, and I'm going to add some more commentary to it. So you guys stay tuned. Don't move a muscle, and we will be right back after these very, very brief commercial interruptions.
K-Soldier, the t-shirt brand inspired by ancient mysteries and modern style. Sign up for their t-shirt subscription and get a new exclusive shirt delivered every month automatically. Every shirt comes with a magazine that doubles as a poster, which describes the story and the history behind the design and the detail. It also comes with free stickers. Sign up for the t-shirt subscription right now. Tariq Radio listeners, use the coupon code KFLEX and get 50% off on your first month. That's CaseUltra.com. Again, that's CaseUltra.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Show. I am your host, Mr. Tariq Elite. We're back right here live in Los Angeles, ready to chop up some good game with the family. Now, first of all, before I get into the game, don't forget, everybody, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get the brand new hit documentary film, Hidden Colors 3. That's number one. And I want to say, because a lot of people are sending me emails. First of all, I want to thank everybody who purchased and supported Hidden Colors 3. Now, Hidden Colors 3 was officially released on DVD July 4th. On July 4th on Amazon, about 2 minutes after it was released, they all went out of sale. It sold out completely on Amazon on July 4th. Also, the next day, in most of the bookstores that had the DVD, because we sent them copies in advance to be ready for July 4th, almost all of them sold out the following day, which is Saturday. And what happened is Amazon put it in order with us. They tripled the order. And also all the bookstores, they tripled their order. So we got we're backed up for a few days. So a lot of people have been calling. People have been fiending. People have been calling Amazon because they're not sure when they get the DVD. Everybody, you're going to get your DVDs from Amazon. You're going to get your DVDs from the bookstores. The thing is, we released it on a holiday, which was a good thing. It was a gift and a curse. We released it on a holiday. Everybody got them. And because it was a holiday, we couldn't reorder that day. So we had to reorder on Tuesday. So everything is going to be stocked up by the beginning of next week. I'm saying all that to say, just be patient. Just a few more days, everybody, for those who did not get your DVD, because a lot of people did get their DVDs. But again, everybody literally sold out in like a couple of days. And that's a good thing. It's a gift and a curse. The bad thing is I just hate that everybody can't get their DVDs right away. Because what we're doing now, next week, we're stocking up, so we're not going to run out again. See, we see we're working with a monster right now. Hidden Colors 3 just sits on another level. Like I said, last week it was the number one documentary for the whole week. It was like the number 4 best-selling DVD, period. It's still a bestseller right now on Amazon. So you guys can still get your advanced copies. I mean, not advanced copies, but you can still pre-order when they stock up, because they're going to stock up in a few days. So don't trip. Everybody's going to get their DVD. It's just like hectic. Everybody's getting it right now because I've been doing all these TV appearances. I'm going to be on CNN tomorrow plugging the DVD. So I would say to you guys, get your pre-order right now, so when they stock up, you will get yours first. Because again, I'm going to be on CNN tomorrow talking about it. Everybody wants to talk about Hidden Colors 3 because it's hot. It is the hottest thing popping right now. Black owned all day, doing big things. And you're going to get your DVD, everybody. So it's just a few days delay. Some of your bookstores out there who ordered, it's just a couple of days delay. By next week, we will not run out again. We are actually, I got other space to warehouse backup DVDs at this point. We're not running out. We see what we're working with. We're not going to run out anymore. So by next week, everything is going to be smooth sailing. But get your orders in now so you can get yours first. All right? And don't forget to also go to TariqElite.com. Get those boots. Those are selling like hotcakes. The shirts, the t-shirts, the button-downs. All that good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Let me take a couple of calls real quickly and see who I got on this phone here. What's up? Who's calling?
Hello.
Hey, young lady. Who is this trying to sound sexy?
This is Rhonda Johnson in Austin, Texas.
Rhonda, can you speak up a little bit, sweetie?
I said this is Rhonda Johnson from Austin, Texas.
How are you, Rhonda?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Yes. Actually, I read one of your first books, The Art of Gold Digging. My son had recommended me to read that.
Okay.
You know, I've been single for some time, married and divorced.
Okay.
And I just, my question to you is, and all the men that you described, I just feel like there is another label of man other than the ones that you described in your book.
Like what other label? What other label do you think there is?
Well, it's hard for me to put a label on a man. It's just that I just think out of all the men you described, there's like maybe a part or a piece in each one that would make the type of man that I'm looking for, because I'm not looking for any of those in that book. My son feels like I'm sort of like a gold digger, because when I go out with men, they'll buy me things on the first date, not expensive things, because that's not what I'm expecting, you know, like the potted flower or, you know, some gloves, women's gloves that you wore back in the old days, stuff like that. So I don't, you know, or they'll pay for plane tickets for me to come see them. But I just don't feel that that's gold digging. I just feel like if I've talked to you for a certain length of time and you want to provide me with tickets to come see you,
right?
I just don't feel like I'm a gold digger by doing that.
Well, I don't even look at gold digging. See, if you read the book, and I don't look at gold digger as a bad term. There is nothing wrong with wanting a guy to provide. I say that clearly throughout the book. But, you know, people have made the label gold digger very negatively. But people generally get it how they live. If you can mm-hmm. get somebody to do something, you will. People who mm-hmm. can't get it, they have a way of trying to shame others that can. So
mm-hmm.
what type of man do you generally like? What type of man do you want to go for?
Well, I just turned 50 in June.
Okay.
I don't normally attract 50-year-old men because I don't look that way.
Okay.
And but I'm trying to date men that are in their 50s because they're more like me. And so I'm just basically looking for somebody, you know, who's established, you know, who's honest, who's monogamous, who's kind, dependable, you know, just the simple basic things that were back in the day.
Right. Now, what type of men? Now, you've been dating younger men, right?
Well, because that's all, those are the only gentlemen that are, I guess, have the backbone enough to come approach me, because I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York.
Right.
You know, I'm born Flatbush Avenue. So, and I've lived in several places. So I have a little bit of Chicago, a little bit of New York, a little bit of Cali. Now I'm here in Texas. So I'm kind of a blend of all those sort of things.
Well, the thing is, it sounds like you got married young. How old were you when you got married? Like 20, 21?
Oh, no. The son that suggested I read the book, I had him when I was 21, but I was never the type of girl that thought about marrying, or that wasn't an important thing to me. I just wanted a partner from watching non-successful marriages of my mother, so I didn't really see the point of going through all that.
But you said you were married and divorced, so when did you get married? Were you actually technically...
I got married when I was 29.
Okay. And how long were you married?
And I was married for about six and a half years, and, discovered that, my husband was kind of, messing around here and there with all kinds of different, because he was an inspector for Section 8. So that's what he was messing around with. And I just felt like my stuff is too good for someone who's messing around with those type of women. So once I found out, I just moved out, gave him the house and everything, just took my personals and started over. So, and once, he was only like 2 years younger than me, but once I left him, that's when I started attracting all these younger men.
Well, because you were putting out that energy, sweetie. Rhonda, you were putting out that energy. That's why you were attracting them. It wasn't an accident. That's why I wanted to get back into, that's why I knew at 21, 20, something happened. So you had a kid at 21. Mm-hmm. So again, that took away the youth right there. You had to become very responsible. Then at 29, you got married, which made you extra, extra responsible. That didn't work out. So you went back to square one after your kid was a little older. The divorce was over. Now you want to see if you still have it, because now you've spent your youth, you're kicking it in your ratchet years, locked up into a relationship. And again, I always say this, a lot of these black women out here, they got miles on them, they're a little seasoned, but they still look good. So you're like, shit, let me go out here and get some cooperation from these dudes. So them young dudes were not getting at you by accident. You were putting that energy out there. What's the youngest you've gone? What's the youngest dude you've dated?
12 years younger than me, but then they don't tell you the truth. You have to kind of fish through their information to find out.
You know that nigga was young. Rhonda, let's stop it. You know that nigga was young. That nigga, when y'all got naked, that nigga had on some Elmo fucking onesies. That nigga was young, and you knew he was young.
He was young, but he made it sound like he was 5 years young because he was, he went to Grambling State, so, he, talked the talk and walked the walk, so, I was trying not to, what men always say is bring the old baggage from what you had before into your new relationship. So I was trying to be open, and of course I knew he was younger than me.
Yeah, you
knew
he was young. You know, but he was 5 years.
But not 12 years. I'm thinking 5 or 6. That's what he said.
You didn't want to know. That nigga had Capri Sun stains on his shirt. You know he was young. He was doing young dude shit at your house playing with the Xbox and all that stuff. But the thing is,
but the old guys still play with the Xbox and stuff.
And that is true. That is true. Like, hey, that is absolutely, because you got some old dudes. You got some old dudes.
Tell me the old man, older guy that likes games don't play Call of Duty.
Exactly. You got some old immature dudes out here. I will definitely give you that. But again, right now you're 50 years old, so now you're realizing that it's time to get into a real productive relationship that's outside of sexual compatibility, because right now them young dudes been blowing your back out, and it's time to get something more than just getting that back blown out, because you're getting older, you want to be established and you want to have a companion. So now it's time to think outside of the box. And it sounds like that's what you're doing now.
And then that puts me to the next question in your book. Something about, if I can remember, the 3-date rule, and then they're supposed to have sex. Why can't I just have sex when I'm ready?
No,
I don't have to count to 3 and then say, okay, here it is. I don't want to just give it to you any kind of way. I want to give it to you the right way. And if it's a 3-date rule, yeah, I can do that, but you're not going to get the complete me.
Well,
so
now when it comes to now when
to
it comes
it
to
the best way you can get it.
Now, if you're just looking for a relationship, now that makes sense. But I'm talking about in the realm of gold digging. Now, if you're actually trying to get some type of tangible item, that's different. Now you got to be more tactical with the way you deal with the dude. That's why I say, if you're trying to get something tangible, don't have sex right away, because now you've thrown away your bargaining chip. And again, when you're trying to get some out of some of these old trick dudes out here, that's your bargaining chip. You don't want to give that up too soon. So you got to kind of pace yourself. So that's what I mean. Okay. But if you're looking for just a relationship, you find you an old cool cat who, sell cars or some shit, then y'all can do what you do. But in the
but
realm.
Then
of,
I have a hard time being really, you know, physically attracted to men my age, because I've been physically attracted to men anywhere from 5 to 12 years younger than myself. So now I kind of have to rethink what I think is attractive. I have to retrain myself.
Right. Well,
as far as what's attractive.
Well, there's some, you can find some older gentlemen out there who still have themselves together. You know, there's older cats who go to the gym still and all that, but you just got to be practical, because hell, there's dudes out here who can say, well, I just like a woman with a great big old ass. And
exactly. And I'm not built that way. My grandmother is from Russia. She's a Russian Jew. So I am a black female that front arm looks like an hourglass, but I was never blessed with a strip of booty or big giant boobs. So I'm just, you know, my main attraction is, you know, of course my face and my legs, the way I carry myself, you know, that sort of thing. So
and that's,
you know,
the thing,
I,
and that's the
Rhonda, that quite
I understand
men.
That
that's,
and that's the thing, Rhonda, and that's the thing. Men and women have to get to a point in their lives where they say, okay, what's more important? As a man, what's more important? Should I get a woman who's real cool looking with substance, or a woman with a great big old juicy ass who's real ratchet, who can't do shit? So what's more important, me having sexual compatibility or somebody who's socially and economically and emotional compatible? And women have to come to the same conclusion. Should I go out here and fuck a nigga who looks like Morris Chestnut, or should I get the dude who looks like Morgan Freeman, who can provide for the family? You dig? So you gotta, sometimes the Morris Chestnut might work out for you if you can afford it, because after a while, this nigga's blowing your back out and then bills start piling up. You're gonna wanna see some money instead of more dick. You understand? So you're gonna have to find out what's more practical. All right? Anyway, Rhonda, let me get this call. And
okay.
Hey, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Yes,
all
indeed.
Right. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Rhonda, the middle-aged thought. The MILF. I wonder what she looks like. I wonder what Rhonda looks like. She said she's her mom's a Russian Jew. She said she was never blessed with a strip of booty. I wonder if she's one of them black women with a flat ass. I told y'all, I don't trust no black woman with a flat ass. So any of y'all dudes out there in Texas, y'all meet a woman named Rhonda and your data, y'all niggas better hide your wallets. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, King Flex. This is Jimmy out of D.C.
Jimmy out of D.C. What's up with it, Pimp Sauce?
Everything, man. First off, I like to say, shout out to you for the Hidden Colors 3, man. That was a great movie, man.
Man, much respect. Where'd you see it?
I went to go see it in D.C. at the Avalon.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Took the old lady out to see it. You know, got cooperation after. It was a 2-for-1.
Oh, yeah. So what's on your mind,
man? So, yeah, I just wanted to say, man, thanks for everything that you've done, man. You know, I got few of my brothers that I brought together. You know, we started our own company, and you know, we got a black owned business. We're practicing group economics, and everything's going right, man. So
indeed.
Shout out to you.
Hey, much respect to that, man. Keep doing your thing, fam. What's the name, y'all? What's the name of your business?
The name of it is called NITSE.
NITSE.
That's the acronym, anyway. Yeah, it's National Information Technology. It's a tech. My buddy just came up with the name.
Okay.
So
y'all got a website now, or y'all working on it?
We just got the website. We're working on the homepage right now.
Okay, let me know what the website is, man, so I can let people know. All right.
Hey, definitely, man. Appreciate that.
Much respect, fam. Yes, indeed, man. Y'all know, tomorrow, Thursday. What's the day today? Today is the 7th or the 8th. Today is the 9th. So Thursday the 10th. Y'all know the Black Feminists, they got they're going to have a Twitter discussion. And the title of this Twitter discussion that the Black Feminists are having is called How Black Men Can Help Black Women with Street Harassment. And a very well-known internet troll / Black Feminist / pseudo journalist named Feminista Jones, whose real name is Michelle Taylor. She's going to be the so-called moderator of this. And now she's a very well-known internet troll. Feminista Jones, she writes for all these different black websites, and she has written so many negative things about me and Hidden Colors, and she's always tweeting negative things about me and trolling me, and she has about 20 different Twitter names that she trolls under. So this conversation that they're going to have about street harassment is going to be very interesting. The hashtag is UOK sis hashtag UOKSIS. That's the hashtag. I call this the United Negro Bedwinch Telethon. That's all this is, because lately you've been seeing a whole bunch of stories of black women getting attacked by white males, and these black feminists don't say anything about that. You got the Renisha McBride, sister got shot in the face by a white supremacist. You had the Opium Anthony situation where Anthony Kamiya was cursing out this black woman in the street. That's real street harassment. You had a sister who got ran over by a white dude down in Georgia and killed. Another sister was cursed out, called a nigger, and spit on by a white supremacist police officer down in right outside of Atlanta. A black woman out here, a great grandmother, got beat up by a white supremacist police officer. So black women are getting attacked left and right out here, and what the Negro Bedwinches are doing, they're having the United Negro Bedwinch Telethon to say, hey, look, white daddy, please spare us. That's what this is. Instead of saying we're going to attack them, the white supremacists who are attacking these black women out here, not verbally but physically, they want to sit up and have a discussion about some damn street harassment and throw black men under the bus for saying hi. That's all they consider street harassment. Street harassment is really a black dude walking up to a woman saying hi. They consider that street harassment. Now, they try to give it all types of extremities, but that's really what it boils down to. Criminalizing black men for just speaking to women on the streets. That's really what it is. Now, they be saying shit like, well, when I was 15, some stranger followed me home. Now, that you're talking about some child molester. Nobody's, you know, that's some asshole. He should be locked up or whatever. But trying to criminalize brothers for just looking at you, that's something else. And I have some questions that I want to pose. So I'm going to be up bright and early. The conversation starts on Twitter, 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. East Coast time. And the hashtag is UOKSIS. The dialogue about street harassment. I got a couple of questions I want to pose. Now, I want to see how this plays out. But I digress. Now, what I want to do now, I want to play some clips of a debate I had with a white supremacist or suspected white supremacist named Dave. Now, many of you heard this live on Ustream this Sunday. I was tweeting some stuff this weekend about the Anthony Kamiya situation, really sticking up for black females. I always stick up for sisters, especially when the white supremacists attack. And the white supremacists are really going in on black women, saying that black women deserve to get beat up. Anthony Kamiya deserved to do what he did. I mean, they were really going in on sisters. And there were a lot of white supremacists who were mad at me on Twitter. And there was one guy named Dave making his comments, trying to intellectualize many of his white supremacist views. And I invited him to call up to my show. He was tweeting me some stuff, talking about how he supports Anthony Kamiya, the guy who was making negative comments about not just black women, but black people. And I said, well, look, man, I'm doing my show right now. Why don't you call in? And he was like, yeah, I call in. What's the number? Now, mind you, he never heard the show before. And that's very interesting, because you have to understand, when people have white supremacist views, they know who to bring those views to. They know who to debate those views with. And usually what happens when the white supremacists debate people, they debate people who they know are not really well versed in racial politics. And the thing with a lot of black people have a tendency to believe everything that white supremacists tell them, because a lot of black people were programmed to believe that white is right. And the white supremacists prey on that. And the thing is, I'm going to play this debate, and I think it's kind of lightweight. A lot of people said I got in his ass. To me, it's kind of lightweight, because I was just really warming up. I didn't really get in him like I wanted to get in him. He tapped out a couple of times, and he ultimately tapped out. But I just want to let people see how to verbally handle people with white supremacist views, because a lot of times, if you can't verbally handle these people, you won't be able to socially or economically handle them. Because I've seen a lot of brothers and sisters get shut down verbally with weak white supremacist bullshit. And I'm like, you let him shut you down with that? So a lot of times y'all can't even verbally handle these people. And you have to understand this when dealing and debating with white supremacists. And again, you can use this stuff on your job or in any situation. 90% of what white supremacists say is complete and utter bullshit. If you ever remember anything, if you don't ever remember anything for the rest of your life, please remember that. First of all, 90% of what they say is bullshit. It sounds very intellectual, and the bullshit that they say that is true, the 10% that might be true, most of that will be a half-truth. But you do have to know how to call them out on their BS, as you will listen. And I'm going to stop in between some of the dialogue to give my little commentary to show you how to break them down. So let me find that clip right now. And this is Dave. Like I said, his name is Dave, and he was from Twitter. And I call him Dave, the suspected white supremacist. And let me play the clip right now. Let me find the first one, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on one second. Here it is.
Feeling good. Have a good night. Just relaxing.
Okay, now let me catch my people up who's listening. Dave is tweeting me. He's in support of Anthony Cumia. You support Anthony, right? From Opie and Anthony?
Yes, big fan of the show and, the guys on there, what they've been doing for free speech and trying to defend everybody's right to speak their mind.
Absolutely. Okay, and you were tweeting me a whole bunch of stats about crime and black crime and all that. So what's your views on black crime again?
Okay.
Now, you were tweeting me a whole bunch of stats on black crime and all that. Now, what's that about?
Well, you were, Anthony had pointed out that, he was attacked by somebody and that, basically, and he's been saying something. Are you familiar with the show? Do you listen?
I've listened to the show before, and I'm familiar with his views, absolutely.
Okay, and he's got, plenty of black friends, and I'm,
Okay, let me stop right there so I can give y'all some of my commentary. So that's rule number one right there. Tactic number one. The white supremacists will always throw in some, well, he has black friends or I have black friends, so I'm not really racist, but, all right? So that's tactic number one. The I'm not really racist, but. So always watch out for that. Don't fall for that. Just let them talk. Don't think that that's some type of concession. Because when they say, well, Anthony, he has black friends and I have black friends. But y'all remember when I had the debate with Johnny? Johnny, the white supremacist from a couple of years ago, he said the same thing. He has black friends, but. So don't be fooled by that.
Defending him, the fact that the points that he's made are honest points.
Such as what?
And he's being, well, that there's a problem and people ignore the fact that there is a huge increase. In crime. And it says...
In crime where? In crime where? In crime where? There's a huge increase in crime where?
Okay, now, number two, you see the tactic I'm using right there? Second tactic you always have to remember, get them to be definitive about what they're talking about. Because what happens is, a lot of times, the white supremacists, when they see a black person don't know what the deal is, they go in, they start throwing out these stats like they know what they're talking about. They just go stats this, stats that. Make them reiterate exactly what they're saying. You see, I'm saying now exactly what are you saying, Dave? Those stats mean what? You're saying what exactly? I want him to say exactly what he's trying to state and don't play around with it. Don't be vague. I want you to be very specific in what you're saying. Pin them down so then you can knock them down. That's my tactic. I want you to come to a specific, definitive conclusion to your logic so I can go ahead and destroy that bullshit. And they can smell that coming a mile away. That's why they try to be vague. Don't let them be vague. Let them spell out exactly what they're trying to say.
There's a black community.
No, there's not. The only crime y'all can point to is Chicago. Crime is at an all-time low around
the country. Then I point out North has doubled.
No, it didn't.
Murders and carjacking since 2007. Did you read the article?
I didn't read the article. But crime is, I'm telling you, I'm in the black community, crime is down. That's why people can only, that's why.
I see it. No, Trenton, Camden, there's towns in downward spiral. And the problem is politicians taking away from those communities. Also, the fact that...
Wait, because now you're jumping all over the place. I'm telling you some of the stuff you're saying ain't true, and then you jump to something else. What you're saying isn't true.
No, I back it up with actual statistics, and you
want to ignore. Crime in Chicago and carjackings in Camden. Now, where else? Because there's black people all over.
Well, Sure. Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Now, you just cherry-picked two cities. You just cherry-picked two cities. Carjacking and violence, that's a different thing. So now you just jump.
I can keep picking cities. Tampa.
Crime is down in Tampa.
And call him out on that. He just mentioned Tampa. Crime is not really high in Tampa like that. He's just really, now he's trying to pull cities out of his ass and he's thinking that he's going to get away with it. Crime in Tampa ain't really high, skyrocket high like that.
Yeah, Black violence is down in Tampa.
Really?
You're just naming random cities, Dave. Crime is down with Black people. That's the only place y'all can point to is Chicago.
No, Newark. Look at Newark. I sent you the article that showed you violent crime is doubled. You want to ignore it, though.
Now, look at what he's saying. Now, he keeps saying it's doubled. The crime ain't high. It's doubled. See, that's a trick, and I'll explain that later.
No, it hasn't.
You give yourself a pat on the back, and everything's perfect.
No, it doesn't. No, crime has not doubled. Violent crime is not doubled. That's not true.
And you attack anybody that addresses it as a racist, and that's the fucking problem, man.
But that's not true. You're saying something that's not true.
You don't hear any point.
But you're saying something that's not true. I'm just saying. You're saying something that's not true. Hey, wait. Dave. Calm down. First of all, calm down, dude. Don't talk over me. Nobody can hear us. And the fact that you're trying to talk over me shows that you don't really believe what you're saying. You're trying to bogart a bunch of bullshit in there. Hold on, because I'm all about facts.
Where is this show you have anyway?
Hold on.
Oh, now watch that. Now see that? Because see, let me show you two tactics in one. Now that he sees that I know he's full of shit with those stats he's throwing out there, he knows I know he's full of shit now. He knows that I know he's making stuff up. So now a tactic is to talk over you, just to keep saying stuff that's not true, but talk over you to block the truth. So now I slowed that down, said, Dave, we're not going to do that. And then immediately he wants to change the subject. What kind of show is this? I'm not going to let him do that. See that? So watch out for that tactic. The white supremacists will try to change the subject very quickly.
That you're trying to talk over me shows that you don't really believe what you're saying. You're trying to bogart a bunch of bullshit in there. Hold on, because I'm all about facts.
Where is this show you have anyway?
Hold on. Don't change the subject now, because you're going to get that work.
You're going to get that work.
Now, let's talk about crime. There's violent crime in your community because there's mass shootings all over the country that you're not addressing. Right. How come you're not addressing all of these mass shootings all over?
We got a big problem.
Well, why aren't you addressing that? Why aren't you addressing that, Dave? There's been mass shootings in your community.
If violent crime is the issue,
let's talk about all violent crime. Don't cherry pick the low crime in Chicago. Let's talk about these movie theater shootings. Sandy Hook. The shootings up in Nevada. All shootings across the country.
What percentage of all murders?
Are you about to do the percentage game? Let's look at the raw numbers. Murder is murder. All right? These mass killings and mass shootings, why don't you address that happens all over the country?
They are a big problem. And you know what we need?
Why don't you address them as a community?
No, you don't.
You're talking about all black. Are you trying to say, let me be clear, that because of the crime in Chicago, that all black people are responsible for what's going on in Chicago for the last 10 years? Are you saying that?
No.
That sounds like what you're saying. So why are you saying that we don't address it? We don't address the crime in Chicago and the carjackings.
It's not addressed. The crime in Chicago hasn't been addressed.
That's a complete lie. Dave, that is a complete lie. Why is the violence
going up in Chicago then?
Dave, because they're making money on the violence and they don't want to solve the violence. Black people in Chicago, including myself, Dave, stop talking when I'm Dave. Dave, stop talking when I'm talking, player. Dave, I've been to Chicago myself. Other black people out there in Chicago coming up with solutions to break down the crime out there in Chicago because they don't have employment. Kanye West, Common, they're creating businesses out there. So telling that lie that we're not doing anything about Chicago, that's a complete lie, Dave. But what are you doing about all the mass killings and the mass murders and the mass violence in your community?
We don't have mass killings in my community.
Yes, you do.
Quite simply.
Yes, you do. Sandy Hook, the movie theater shooting, the Nevada shooting, they just shot two cops a couple of weeks ago. Elliot Rogers shot some people out here. Yes, you do.
Yes, but in between those.
But in between nothing.
In between those shootings, how many other people were killed?
Common deflection tactic. See that? He won't answer the question. In between those shootings, what about Chicago? They always deflect. They won't answer the question. They like to deflect.
I mean, that's really... We have a huge problem. I mean, yes, we do. We do. I'm not saying we don't have a problem.
And with our problem, see, the thing is, in our problem, the black crime is also just regulated in small little places like Chicago. That's why you can only talk about Chicago. And if I want to avoid black crime, I'll stay out of Chicago, if that's your logic.
It's the overflow of that violence.
You what?
It's the overflow of that violence.
That don't make no sense, Dave. Dave, that doesn't make any sense. Why don't you take care of the crime in your community?
Okay, when the car tractors from North come to the next town over to exit, and this is what happened the week before Christmas.
And
they executed a guy in front of his wife. Four gang members who were career criminals and gang members from North came. African-American.
And what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with me and any other black person? What does that have to do with me or any other black person? What does that one crime have to do with me or any other black person?
Everybody.
What does that have to do with me or any other black person?
It's different if gang members are offing each other.
What? And first of all, ain't no gangs, dude. Stop all that gang stuff. Hey, Dave, stop that gang. What gangs, Dave? What gangs, Dave? Dave, what gangs? What gangs? Name the gang, Dave. What gang? What gang?
Read the article.
No. I'm asking you, what gangs are you talking about? You talking about these gangs. What gangs? What's the name of these gangs, Dave?
The Bloods, the Crips, the MS-13.
Stop. You're just naming off random gangs.
Did this fool say that the African-American gangs, the MS-13s? You see, people, call these white supremacists out. They're idiots. He was naming off African-American gangs. This fool said MS-13. Now, for those who don't know, that's an El Salvadorian gang. It's not even an African-American gang. But again, you've got to call the white supremacists out. Like I said, 90% of what they say is bullshit, and they know it.
Talking about? You talking about these gangs. What gangs? What's the name of these gangs, Dave?
The Bloods, the Crips, the MS-13.
Stop. You're just naming off random gangs you saw on National Geographic, dude. You're naming random gangs you saw. Those gangs are really not that active, Dave. I live in L.A. Those gangs are not that active, Dave. Did you call me what? What did you call me?
All right. And the next tactic, now that he sees that he's being called out for his lies, the most common white supremacist tactic, name calling. He goes right for the jugular. And when they do this, people, don't fall for the trap. This is their out. Now that they realize that they're losing the argument because now their rhetoric is getting called out, then they want to go to the name calling. Now, this is a very common tactic of many white supremacists. All right. So when they do this, always stay cool. Never re-engage them with name calling on your own. Stay cool. Let that blow over, because when you stay cool, that's going to make them look like bigger idiots. All right. So they're going to go to the name calling. So now he's going right to the name calling. All right.
So really not that active, Dave. I live in L.A. Those gangs are not that active, Dave. Did you call me what? What did you call me?
Idiot, dude. Okay. I don't even know.
Oh, what? Are you getting mad now, Dave? So now I'm a fucking idiot. You're using insults now, Dave?
Your head is so far up your fucking ass. Uh-oh. You are a big fucking problem for your listeners if they are even taking you seriously.
Are you getting mad now, Dave, because you can't bring intellectual capacity to the conversation?
No, you're just literally talking in circles and ignoring me.
Dave, you're spitting out a bunch of cliches. I'm calling you out on your cliches. You just named a whole bunch of gangs. The Bloods and the Crips, the MS-13s. These gangs are not really active around the country anymore, Dave. You're just listening to all... Yes, it does matter. Why don't you take care of the crime and the violence in your community?
The problem is, when the fucking crime flows out of Newark into Short Hills, but somebody gets fucking executed.
You keep talking about Newark. Am I responsible? Are black people? Calm down. Are you getting mad, Dave? So, Dave, are black people all around the country responsible for what's happening in Chicago and Newark? Is that what you're saying? You keep saying Chicago, Newark, Chicago, Newark. So are we all responsible for what happens there?
Those are the cities people are pretty familiar with.
Are we all familiar? Dave, I'm Dave.
And I think everybody's familiar if they follow the news with what's going on in Chicago. If you don't, then you're ignorant.
Okay, Dave.
And that's another thing. People, let me give y'all this. If you're ever talking to a white supremacist or is there anybody, somebody at your job making some kind of slick comment, they do what I call the Chicago card. They are always going to play the Chicago card. Whenever they talk about black crime, black violence, 100% of the time, they're going to play the Chicago card. They're going to be like, well, what about Chicago? They did that with the whole Trayvon Martin thing when black people were like, hey, this is an injustice. What about crime in Chicago? Always ask them one question, and I kept asking him this question, and he kept ducking and dodging it like white supremacists do. Always ask them, since you brought up Chicago, are all black people supposed to be responsible for what's going on with black people in Chicago? Is that what you're trying to say? Always ask them that and get them to clarify, okay? Remember to do that. Get them to clarify, are we all supposed to be responsible for what's going on in Chicago? Just get them to clarify that.
Are we responsible as black folks for what's happening in Chicago and Newark?
The people themselves are responsible for their own actions.
Are we, black people, as a whole, responsible for the crime in Chicago and Newark? Is that
If we look at things that tend to lead towards criminal behavior,
like what?
Yes.
Like what, Dave?
Well, things that lead to criminal behavior would be perpetuation of gang mentality in your music, in your media.
This dude just went to the whole rap music rhetoric. He's about to go there. All right, now that y'all know, that's old white supremacist bullshit. That's from the 90s. That's a layover from the 90s rhetoric, and that's so old and played out. But they keep that in their back pocket. So here he is.
Okay, so it's the music. Dave, stop there.
Notice he kept trying to go on because now he realized what he said. He's going to get called down on it. So they try to go to something else very quickly. You saw that? But I'm going to hold him down on what he just said. See, that's another thing. Pin the white supremacists down on their rhetoric. When they say one thing, pin them down on that. Don't let them run from it. Pin them down and let them explain what they're trying to say.
Stop there, Dave. Let's tackle that music and gang stuff. So it's the music that's influencing black people to be these criminals, right? Right? Dave?
Now at this point, at this point, Dave hung up. Hold on, let me play.
Dave was about
to. Okay, yeah, he hung up. So now he called back. So I think he hung up to regroup. All right. So he tapped out on that one real quick. And then he called back, said something that his girlfriend came in the house or something. But I think he probably Googled something. He had to regroup and think of some bullshit. So he hung up the phone. But he did call back. So this is the other part of Dave.
Wait. I think Dave is calling back. Hold on one second. What's up, Dave? Dave, this is you?
Yep.
What happened with your phone, Dave?
No, I was on the phone. I was taking a call from my girl. She just landed, so I was going to ignore it.
There you go. So now you were saying about rap music, right? You were saying that rap music influencing black people, right?
We're just talking about things that contribute to crime.
Okay, now let's tackle the rap thing.
Specifically in the black community.
Okay,
now. I'm not going to talk over you.
Now, let's talk about that rap thing.
I'll speak when you ask me to speak.
Okay. Now, let's talk about that rap thing. You're like, it's the gangsta rap music and all the gang stuff in the rap music, right?
Well, no, we're talking, that's part of it. That would be one of many.
Okay. Now, let me...
That don't help. I'm not saying it's a direct cause. I'm saying it's certain things.
Don't backpedal, man.
See, and that's another thing. See, they'll say one thing. Well, the problem is the rap. Now, he knows he's about to get called out. First, he said, oh, it's the rap. Now he knows that he's about to get called out because now I'm pinning him down on what he's saying. I'm like, okay, now you saying it's rap. Well, I'm not saying it's rap, but I'm saying it doesn't help. Now he's trying to clean it up. No, don't let him. Let him stick to what he's trying to say. Make him stick to what he's saying.
Don't backpedal. If you say that's a problem, let's address that. And let me go ahead. Let me address
that. Let's talk about that then.
Let's talk about that because now you want to backpedal. Now, number one, First of all, let me show you the hole in your logic. Number one, most rappers today don't talk about gang banging and gang stuff no more. So you have to update your stereotypes. Did you know that? Did you know that most rappers do not talk about gang violence no more?
It's the language, though, that doesn't help.
What language, Dave?
Well, I'll go out on a limb here and say the use of the N-word.
What about the use of the N-word?
And this is a personal belief, and I can already tell you're going to disagree with me.
Okay.
I think you're probably going to disagree with me. I don't know if you use the word or not.
Yeah, I do, but I use it in I use it in another context. I spell it N-E-G-U-S. I spell it that way, niggas. And that means king in Ethiopian. So when I use it, that's what I'm saying. I'm calling a brother a king. When you use it, what are you saying? Wait, look, when you use it, what are you saying? What are you calling a person when you use it?
No, I don't use the N-word. Jeez. I'm saying in hip-hop, you use the N-word, and it's not N-I-G-G-E-R, it's N-I-G-G-A.
They spell it.
I think it doesn't help. I just think, as a whole, even if it doesn't have a negative connotation when you use it amongst each other, I think the use of it still embodies that word. It just gives that word more power.
So are you saying that the problem in the black community is black people using the N-word, not white supremacy? Is that what you're trying to say, Dave?
No, we're talking about rap music.
Okay.
In rap music, I think that if we keep using the word, it keeps embodying or encouraging the behavior that's associated with that word.
No, it doesn't, Dave.
Positive or negative, I think that it's got an impact. I'm not saying that's the cause of violence. I'm saying that in hip hop music.
What kind of lie? First of all, Dave, what behavior are you talking about?
Well, the behavior that's associated with that word.
Like what? What behavior is associated with that word? Because every black person was called a nigger by white people.
Yeah,
Barack Obama's called a nigger. There's an article that came out today. Barack Obama's called a nigger.
That's the point I'm making. Is that even saying it, when you guys say it, it's a put down.
No, it's not. Barack Obama's called a nigger. Is Barack Obama's called a nigger? So what are you talking about?
Does Barack Obama call his buddies that?
Don't matter if he calls his buddies that or not. The white supremacists call him that. They associate that word with him. If all black people stop using that word, the white supremacists will still use that word because white supremacists were using that word before rap, and they were treating black people the same before rap. So you're all over the place.
Then if you think that, I knew you were going to disagree. But I just think that the more that word is used, the more acceptable it becomes any way it's said.
Wait, are you trying to say, I'm trying to be very clear, you're trying to say because black people say the N-word that it's more acceptable to whites?
I'm just saying more people become desensitized to it. So they didn't even think anything of it.
So what if they do become desensitized? I'm trying to understand what your whole argument is, John Dave.
When people become desensitized to it, they use it more, and the use of that word is encouraging on any end racism.
Listen to what you just said. Stop. You're saying that using the N-word encourages racism?
Yes.
How so? Please explain that.
Well, like I said, it gives you a word that only you guys can use.
So that makes white people. So black people saying nigga makes white people racist. Is that what you're trying to say?
Black people saying that just puts you in a position to where if you're going to call each other that, why is anybody going to think you're anything different than that?
Dude.
Okay. Did you hear that logic? His logic is, well, if y'all keep acting niggerish, we're going to treat you niggerish. But even if black people don't use the word nigga, y'all call them nigga. So you see what I'm saying? See the hole in the logic?
Dude, if black people never said it to themselves, people in the dominant society, white supremacists were calling black people that way before rap, Dave. Stop it. It's a cultural thing. You sound insane, Dave.
Well,
Let's be
real. I'm just saying, Dave, don't, word,
Dave,
no,
it doesn't, Dave. They're not calling people the N-word because of a rap song, man.
Dave, now you're
being intellectually dishonest now. You're being intellectually dishonest. Dave, people in the dominant society were calling black people nigga way before any rap record. Yes or no?
Yeah, it was always used as a negative
word. So what are you talking about? So why are you now trying to blame it on rap, Dave?
What I'm saying is the word is used in rap. And when it's used, but not all rap, obviously a lot of people don't use it. That's a personal choice. But when you hear certain songs that it's used in every sentence, I mean, it's, listen.
Dave, let's stop, Dave. You're just going to keep going.
And right now, he's just babbling. So if y'all like trying to figure out what he's saying, he's not saying nothing. He's stuck. He's babbling, but he's not going to concede that he don't know what the hell he's talking about. So he's just going to babble a little bit. So don't even trip.
Same circle, not making a point and not making sense. So okay. So let's just go. You're not making sense on that, and you know you're not making sense. So let me just
use the word nigga.
Black people saying it does not stop systematic white supremacy. That's not going to stop gentrification. They're not creating gentrification because of a damn nigga in rap songs. They're not shutting down schools because the word nigga in a rap song. They're not funneling people into prison because of the word nigga in a rap song, okay, Dave?
I'm just saying it doesn't help. It doesn't help anything.
What do you mean it doesn't help anything? Well, what do you mean?
What
does help then? So what's going to stop? And first of all, Dave. So what's going to stop? So what's going to stop the white supremacists from practicing white supremacy then? Since nigga don't help, you're right, it don't help. So what does help? What's going to make people in your community or the white supremacists stop practicing white supremacy? Tell me what's going to help. What should black people do? Tell us the rules.
When you say white supremacy, are you talking about like Klan white
supremacy? No, I'm not. No, that's not what white supremacy is. Not at all. I ain't talking about no Klan.
You're talking about job discrimination?
I'm talking about any person classified as white who think that they are superior to a black person. By definition, that is a white supremacist. And it doesn't mean somebody hanging somebody or being a Klan member. It's that person on a jury who low-key votes for a person to be acquitted for killing an innocent black person. It's a white teacher who goes to school and funnel all the black kids into special ed. That's a white supremacist. There are many white supremacists.
Listen, you should know, I'm Cuban.
He just played the minority card. Hey, this is a major tactic that y'all need to watch out for. This fool just said, oh, by the way, I'm Cuban. That's a very slick tactic of the white supremacists. When you pin them down and start calling them out on white supremacy, they will pull the I'm a minority too card. Well, I'm really 1/85th Native American, so my people struggled and I pulled myself up by my bootstrap. Don't let them play that card. Don't let them play the I'm a minority too card. They'll try to backpedal and try to deny their whiteness. Don't let them do that. Call them out on that.
If you don't stop that, I'm not really white. I'm the, don't play that game. Dave, don't give me the I'm 1/8 Native American. My people struggle too. Dave, don't give me the I'm Cuban. I'm not really.
Saying.
You're classified as white, Dave. You're classified as white now, Dave. Let's be very honest, aren't you?
Sure.
No, not sure. Yes or no? Yes or no, Dave? You're classified as white. Yes or no?
Hispanic? Sure.
Dude, Hispanic is not a race, Dave.
Okay, then
are you classified? Are you classified as white or not, Dave?
Yes, white. Yes.
Sure. It's not a trick question, Dave.
Yes, I classify me as white.
I'm not classifying you, Dave. You classify yourself on a census form. Why was that so difficult to say, Dave? Why was that so difficult to say, Dave?
I speak Spanish in my house, so.
don't matter if you speak Spain is in Spain is in Europe, Dave. Come on now. Don't try to present. Don't try to hold play the. Don't try to play the. I'm a minority. I'm kind of a minority too. Bro, don't do that. Just keep it 100.
Okay. Let's get back to the point.
All right, but don't try to pull that again, Dave. I'm not the one to pull that on. But go ahead.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Keep going. Point. Back to the point.
Yes, indeed. Because truth be told, ain't nobody really white. There's a lot of people genetically. If we're gonna talk genetics, that's a whole different story. But nobody's really white. But that's a whole different story. No. When I talk about white, I'm talking about people who are socially categorized as white, because that's what matters. The people who are socially in that category and the people who are socially able to be labeled as white supremacists. Now, the point is that let's get back on the rap thing. Another thing about the whole rap thing influences black folks and all that. 70% of the rap music is purchased by white people. So if the word nigga and the gangster rap and all that stuff is such a negative influence, why doesn't it influence white children to act negative like you say the black people act negative?
Listen, if it's I'm for a free market, if that's what people want to hear, and that's what they want to buy, then that's what should be sold.
Absolutely. But why is it not affecting them negatively? If you say that, no, Dave, you just said rap music makes black folks act negatively. Why doesn't it make the 70% of the people who buy it act negative, which are the white people? Why doesn't it make them act negative?
Oh. I mean, it's not really the culture that they identify with. It's the music they might like to listen to.
Oh. Now, what is white culture, Dave?
Well, everybody's got their own culture. There's African American culture, there's culture.
What is white culture, Dave?
That's another thing. Always ask the white supremacists when they start talking about culture, get them to define white culture and then watch them squirm because they can't really define it.
What is white culture, then, Dave?
Listen, if you're talking about music that...
Dave, I asked you a very specific question. What is white culture?
White culture, I would say white culture is, if you want to stereotype white culture, the standard get married, have a family, go to college, you know, have the average, you know, whatever, 2.5 kids per household, 2 cars, white picket fence, a dog. That's probably white culture.
Okay, if that's white culture, why are there so many millions of white people living in trailer parks having sex with their cousins strung out on meth, if that's white culture?
Oh, there's a lot of fucked up people in the country. Don't get me wrong.
Because you just gave me some bullshit just now. You just gave me some Ozzy and Harriet bullshit. You gave me some bullshit right there, all right?
Listen, there's a lot of... It's regional. Listen to this. I think it's got more to do with regional. White culture in southern Alabama might be going hunting and fishing, you know, and then going to church, and then, you know, whatever else they do down there. But then up in north, it might be... going golfing and going to your country club. You live around Boston or something. It's different everywhere.
Man, I mean, black people golf. Charles Barkley golfs. Michael Jordan golf. O.J. Simpson golf.
Exactly. I'm not saying black people don't golf. I'm not saying that. I'm saying...
And it's not a culture. And we're going to use golf. The thing is, the golf courses... It's white culture because they made a rule to not let blacks in. So you're talking about white supremacy when you talk about that, brother. If you're talking about a golf course, because their whole thing was not letting black people in the golf courses. So you're talking about... So are you saying that white culture is white supremacy? Are you saying that white culture is white supremacy?
I said what you stereotype white culture as being. And you're right. You just stereotype it as being... Does everybody who belongs to a country club, is everybody a racist because they belong to a country club and they're white? Does that make them an automatic racist?
I didn't say that makes them an automatic racist, but a country club. You're saying that a country club, they're black country clubs or they're black organizations that have members within them.
And this is another tactic, by the way. He's just kind of babbling mindlessly, incoherently. So don't even trip. If you're confused about what he's trying to say, don't be. It's called babbling. All right.
There's still
prohibitive against women, you know, in Augusta. But again, I'm asking you what anyway. White culture is. You said that white culture is two people getting married with the white picket fence and the two kids. There are plenty of black people like that. There are plenty of black
that's
people.
Just stereotypical white culture.
Not really, but not really, Dave. But that's that 1950s Ozzie and Harriet bullshit.
I'm oversimplifying it. And you're like,
yes, you are.
There's
a lot of black folks who live like that. I'm one of them, Dave.
Sure. You got the kid and the wife. I'm sure, and you're a great father. And that's the American dream more than anything. That's right.
All right, and now let me play the last part of it. But again, I'm pinning him down on his rhetoric, and that's the thing. You got to get them to be very definitive about what they're saying. You got to get them to be very definitive about what they're trying to say. This is the rest of it.
Actually, a white thing or a black thing. That's what.
So what else is white culture? So what else is white culture? Because you're naming stuff that all of us do, basically. So what is white? What's
ice hockey. That's a pretty white thing.
Dave, listen to me. I want you to get a book right now called Black Ice. Did you know that black people created hockey?
I did not know that.
I talk about that in my film Hidden Colors 3. I got a film right now. It's the number one documentary in the country called Hidden Colors 3.
And people, that's why you need to get films like Hidden Colors 3 so you can have ammo. So when they come in with you with the bullshit, you'll be laced. So you can knock their rhetoric right out the gate, right off the bat.
Get a book to prove everything I'm saying called Black Ice.
I believe you.
Okay. All right. But I don't want to keep embarrassing you, brother. So let's get back into some other
stuff. I'm not embarrassed at all.
Okay. Because you're throwing stuff out there and I'm knocking them shit out.
You're asking me what else is stereotypical white culture. Right. Now, what do you think is... It's typical white culture.
No, I want to get some more. Let's learn, because you're in white culture, so you know white society better than I do, I assume. So what else is white culture?
I'm just
as opposed to black culture, because see, you implied that black culture is gangster rap and the N-word and...
No. We asked about things that contribute to crime.
Right.
And violence.
Right.
And I threw out that, hey, maybe it's now, the other thing that contributes to violence is illegal firearms.
Illegal firearms.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a big... Without illegal firearms or legally bought firearms that are sold illegally, we wouldn't have a lot of these problems. I think that when you talk about mass shootings, I'm just giving you my standpoint there. If you think you don't think I'm an ignorant asshole, I think we need better psychological evaluations for people who are applying for permits for automatic weapons. I own a few guns because I hunt, and I enjoy shooting.
Now we're changing the subject. I want to get back on what is white culture. Let's get back on what, because
that's how you do. Get them back on track. Because, again, when they see that they're basically losing the argument, all right, they'll try to venture off in something else and start. You see how innocent he's sounding now? You see that whole innocent thing he's trying to pull? Don't fall for that passive-aggressive bullshit. Stay in their ass. Stay in their ass. Get them right back on track and make them stick to what they were saying. All right? Don't let them play that little passive-aggressive game with you.
Now, this isn't exclusive to just white people, because, like you mentioned, golf. Yes, I agree. Plenty of black people enjoyed the game of golf.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
What else is white culture? I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, there you go. Say you don't know.
Everybody, you know, this country is so mixed up. It's so intertwined. Most people enjoy the same thing.
Yeah, but when you specify black culture, that's, there has to be a diametric opposition to that. You understand that?
Well, black culture is different everywhere you go, and it's a regional thing, just like it is with white culture. And certain people might enjoy certain things. Obviously, they do. I travel around the country, and I know. Right. Different people enjoy different things, but
let's get back to the crux of your argument, because you're supporting that Anthony Comeia guy who's talking about black violence. So
yes,
the thing is, I'm telling you, and again, I'm a black person, I travel all around the country, black crime and violent crime is down all over the country. The only place people can point to is Chicago. So people pretend that there is this black culture of crime all over the place that's not there, and that's a white supremacist tactic. They've always done that. They've always pretended that there's this rage of black crime and this wave of black crime all over the place, and we just got to do something.
Listen, in New York, it's doubled since 2007. Okay. And I brought that up when you said Chicago was the only place.
Okay, just because it's doubled don't mean that it's a lot, all right? I got a bottle of water right here. If I got two, that don't mean I got a whole flood of water. I just got double the water. So you're playing with the words. It's not a lot of violence in Newark, brother. It's not a lot of violence in New York. Not only is there not a lot of violence, they're misreporting violence in Newark by that whole knockout game came from yes, they are. They made up a crime and it originated from Newark. They made up a bullshit story called the knockout game that does not exist.
People have died from that game.
No, they haven't. No, they haven't. No, they haven't. There is no such thing as a knockout game. It's totally made up. Black people are not playing no knockout game. The video footage they show.
Hey, listen, white people play it too.
No, dude. The video footage, and I did a whole show about that. The video footage they show were from other countries. It was from all over the place, and they tried to make it seem like that. I don't know. What you mean, oh, please? What do you mean, oh, please?
You're going to say those videos were all made up.
Those videos, they cherry-picked random assault videos and said it was part of a knockout game. That was total bullshit. There is no knockout game.
No, period. Now you're talking bullshit.
And how am I talking? Prove there's a knockout game. Prove there is a knockout game. Prove there is a knockout game.
In L.A. where you are, there is no knockout game.
Prove there is a knockout game. There is no knockout game.
The East Coast.
There is no knockout game.
I'm sorry, you're very misinformed.
He said, I'm very disconnected from the East Coast because there's this whole knockout game going on out there. And y'all know I disproved that last year.
But you're misinformed because there is no knockout game.
I live here. What the fuck?
I'm telling you, you don't know, you don't deal around. That's a lie. There is no knockout game. There is no violence out there. That's not true.
And violent crime has been doubling, and you're gonna say
you keep saying it's doubling, it's doubling. If two people there's not a crime wave out there, there's not a crime wave out there. So there's and also, and you're reading, you sound like you're reading that book, White Girl Bleed a Lot. You're using that BS logic and that rhetoric. It's not a lot of violent crime out there.
I'm talking about New York, I'm using a specific case here.
And I'm telling you, they're making up crimes and pinning them on black people in Newark. There is no crime out there like that. I'm telling you, and I know for a fact.
A black guy was just killed on his porch yesterday.
A white, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard about that, so I don't know about that. I can't speak on that. I haven't heard about that. I haven't heard about that one. But hell, but a couple of police officers got shot by two white supremacists. Another white supremacist went up and shot up a school. So how come we're not dealing with that? Let's deal with these white supremacists. You're talking about this fake knockout game. These white supremacists shooting up everybody. That's real. Why don't you address that?
Where are white supremacists shooting up everybody? Sandy Hook was a white on white crime.
That's what I'm saying.
They're white on white crime.
And many of these people were white supremacists. Even though they shot other white people, they still had white supremacist views. A lot of them did.
These are also people who are absolutely psychotic, who are on heavy antidepressants.
Oh, no. So now you're doing the antidepressant. So now with black folks, they do crime. It's the culture. It's the rap. It's the family. When the white ones do it, it's the drug. Oh, they got on antidepressant. They're on drugs. They were put on Ritalin. Stop, dude. Stop. All of them on drugs, dude.
Lots of antidepressants, man.
Well, a lot of the black people who commit crime are on drugs, too. How come y'all never bring that up?
Because, they are on drugs. Just different kind of drugs. And they're doing it for...
What kind of drugs are they on? What kind of drugs are they on?
Oh, let's see. Well, it's actually one of the drugs that they're selling. If you go down to Newark, it'll probably be a good chance that it's a crime related to drugs or gangs or... Just,
how come they might be on drugs? A lot of them are on drugs. And a lot of them might be on illicit drugs as well. But if they're on drugs, why do you attribute that to culture? Why do you attribute that to some kind of culture? That's why. Why should I be responsible? Why should I be responsible for somebody on crack killing somebody? Why is that part of my culture and it's just somebody who's whacked out on drugs? Why is that a black thing instead of a drug thing?
Well, you're asking about why I'm not saying that they are on drugs. They are on drugs most of the time. They're probably doing it out of greed or just a general violence streak.
But see, now you're not being you and the Anthony Camillas of the world, you're not being intellectually honest. See, the thing is, whenever you point a black crime, because the thing is, the whole argument is that you believe the views and you support the views of Anthony Camilla, who blames all of it on black folks. It's black culture.
That he should not have lost his job for what he said.
Yes, he did. He should. Yes, he should have.
Guy.
he should have lost his job because it went beyond words. It went beyond words.
Because, you know what? If he loses his job, then you lose your job next.
For what?
It's your right to say what you believe.
Stop. This ain't about him saying anything. This ain't about him saying anything. This is about what he did. He went out and harassed an innocent woman. That's why he got fired. It wasn't because of what he said. He went out in the streets and actually harassed a real human being. That's why his dumbass got fired. He went out there and assaulted that woman. That's why he got fired, Dave. Don't try to redefine what he did.
He got fired because you're going to have people come and bang it on Judy Kekka's door and threaten to protest and try to pull contracts, and they had to buckle because of money.
Because nobody wants to be associated with a white supremacist, Dave. Nobody wants to be associated with a white supremacist.
He's not a white supremacist.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's the prime definition of a white supremacist.
It's been really good talking to you.
Are you leaving, Dave? Dave, are you leaving?
I'm sorry.
Are you about to go, Dave?
Listen, it's 11 o'clock. I got to get up at 6 for work. So.
There you go. All right.
I got to get up for a little bit.
All right, Dave. Weekend. It's been real, Dave. Thank you so much for calling.
Enjoy your good luck with the show. It's been fun. I will try and follow you. What's the name of your show?
The Tariq Elite Radio Show, TariqRadio.com. All right?
Okay, it's an internet show. All right, cool.
All right.
All right, that was Dave. All right, that was Dave, the suspected white supremacist he called up. And as you see, the suspected white supremacists, their logic and their arguments are all similar. Again, when you start pinning them down, they start stuttering, backpedaling, backsliding, changing the subject. They're very predictable. So now, again, this is how you deal with these people. Stay on top of your game because, like I said, 90% of the stuff they say is utter bullshit. Do you know, after the debate, or if that's what you want to call it, because, again, I was just kind of getting warmed up. I really wanted to get in him, but even the lightweight stuff we were talking about, he was stuttering on that. He went and deleted his Twitter. Immediately after this dude deleted his whole Twitter page. Because I guess he saw that people were going to go holler at him or whatever. But the dude, he deleted his Twitter. So I would have given out his Twitter, but he deleted it right afterwards. I don't know if he was embarrassed. I don't know. But that was Dave, the suspected white supremacist. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. It's been real, family. Don't forget to go to TariqElite.com to get the clothing. TariqRadio.com to hear me every week right here on Tariq Radio, TariqElite.com. Also, HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 3. And again, it's going to be restocked up by next week, everybody. So be patient. You're going to get your copies of Hidden Colors 3, family. It's been real, fam. Love you. See you Sunday on Ustream.